Well, thank you, Mr. Shemit, and good morning to all of you, brethren. Some of you I obviously know from Garden Grove, others I know from this area, and it's sure a blessing to be here with all of you here in this building. And I think it's been about a year or so since we were all together in this particular building. So thank you for the invitation, and we're looking forward to, of course, a beautiful, wonderful high day. The title of the message I'm giving is Let Us Continue Our Daily Battle Against Sin. Let us continue our daily battle against sin. Now, today is the seventh and final day of God's seven-day annual feast, which is identified in Leviticus 23:5 as the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. In Exodus 13, 6 through 8, I'll read there. You don't need to turn if you don't wish to, because I'll read the scripture. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, This is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. Now, the spiritual emphasis of the days of unleavened bread fits right into God's wonderful master plan of salvation for mankind. Because salvation is a process. It is not completed when we receive God's Holy Spirit at our baptism. We must use the gift of God's Holy Spirit continually in order to continue our journey to the kingdom of God in our daily battle against sin. Now, you will find in this message, I'll be using the word continue quite a few times. So it's not necessarily my grammar, but I want to emphasize it, just like in the particular opening title there. We must recognize our need to continue to purge out the leaven of malice and wickedness through the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5:8. We are all blessed to realize that our loving Father and our Savior and High Priest, Jesus Christ, are with us to help us as we continue to focus on our relationships of coming out of sin, out of spiritual Egypt, and are to stay far away from those areas of life that do not focus on God's way. We are not expected to come out of sin by ourselves alone. We have the help of our loving God to do this. God helps us through His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Actually, we could say that the days of unleavened bread picture a lifelong battle against the forces of evil, a lifelong battle of overcoming sin. We could also say that the days of unleavened bread picture the spiritual stage of sanctification, which comes after our justification and reconciliation by our loving God, who gave us His Holy Spirit when we repented of our sins and were baptized. Now, sanctification implies that we have been set apart by God for a spiritual holy purpose. We are to be different from this world of evil and live our lives according to the will of God. God's feast days picture His great master plan. First is the Passover, which pictures the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, followed by the days of unleavened bread that emphasize a continual focus on coming out of sin, of overcoming sin and growing in the grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as mentioned by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, 17 through 18. Now, when you think of this, for the rest of our lives, we are to continue to focus on those things we know we should be doing in our daily battle against the forces of evil, brethren. We must recognize daily the importance of repentance of our sins through prayer and humility asking God to help us in our fight against that carnal human nature that we all have. Now, as long as we are human flesh and blood, we will sin, but with God's help, we can overcome. Our spiritual journey is a lifelong battle, not only of sin all around us, but also those issues and problems that come upon us in different ways. Remember, we must do our part, and God and Jesus Christ will do their part. Now, the Apostle Paul knew that we face many problems and issues in our lifetime that are different and are difficult to overcome. In Romans 7 and 8, he wrote very clearly that brethren face a lifelong battle of overcoming sin and overcoming all the trials and problems that we receive and go through in our day-by-day living. After reading and studying chapters 7 and 8 of Romans, and we're not going to do this now, of course, we read those very encouraging verses of hope and promises of the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'll read a few verses now, Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Romans 8, verse 35 through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those words are powerful, brethren, and they're very, very comforting. I think we could all agree on that. Now, what are we to continue to do now that the days of unleavened bread are ending? Let's look at 1 John 2:15 to find out something very obvious we should be doing, and that would be to come out of this world of sin. 1 John 2:15, and I'll read that. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. We must also be careful not to neglect our calling, brethren, as stated in Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Brethren, neglecting God's way of life can easily happen because of the many distractions that we face and we get in our way. Before we know it, we are living far away from the closeness of God that we know should be occurring in our life because different priorities have taken place. Neglecting daily prayer, reading our Bible, and meditating on God's word and way of living could easily lead us to sin. We should understand that using the excuse that we are just too busy will not be acceptable by God. We must continue our walk of faith in God. We must continue to live our lives daily in such a manner that God will be pleased with our progress And this would include continual growth and development in our prayer life. We must remember that prayer is a spiritual tool to be used to help us draw close to our loving and faithful God, our Heavenly Father, and our wonderful High Priest and Savior, Jesus Christ. And brethren, when we do that, then we can be confident that they will draw close to us. They will draw close to us through God's Holy Spirit. Prayer helps us to connect to the minds of God our Father and Jesus Christ our Savior and High Priest. Remember, we should continually be in an attitude of praying without ceasing, as mentioned in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. However, we must not get discouraged, because our faithful Heavenly Father God and our High Priest, Jesus Christ, will guide and help us to continue our day-to-day living of coming out of sin. Now, let us look at two ways that Jesus Christ guides and helps us to continue our day-to-day living of coming out of sin, which the days of unleavened bread picture. The book of John has several I am statements that are made by Jesus Christ. We will study two of them at this time. In the book of John, but we will cover then, of course, only the first two. The first two. And now Jesus is describing himself, who he is. These statements by our Savior and High Priest are very encouraging and helpful, because, brethren, we can be confident without a doubt that we are not left alone to live our lives as God wants us to live, but we have the personal help of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first one, turn to John 6:35. Turn to that scripture at this time, brethren. We've read it many, many times. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." We should be easily able to notice that it is extremely important that we eat of the spiritual bread of Jesus Christ and labor for the spiritual nourishment that we need. Jesus Christ is the giver of life. Now, in John 4:13 and 14, Jesus explained to the Samaritan woman who was to give him water to drink from Jacob's well, and that human beings do need physical water to drink in order to live their physical lives. However, Jesus had spiritual water to give, which would provide everlasting life. So we find Jesus speaking in John 4:13. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, for the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Let us recognize, brethren, that spiritual everlasting life is a gift from God through Jesus Christ. Turn to Isaiah, the 55th chapter now. Isaiah 55, and let's read the first three verses. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Brethren, these are very encouraging words. Let us understand that the God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, is speaking to us through these verses in Isaiah. We are to come, buy, and eat from him. Why? Because he is the bread of life. He is the Word of God, the Father. We must receive spiritual nourishment through Jesus Christ. Spiritual nourishment will produce spiritual health. Spiritual health will include wonderful blessings from God in our day-to-day living. Prayer, meditation, use of Bible scripture are valuable tools that we must use daily to help us receive spiritual food and develop valuable spiritual nourishment. Let us remember that manna was given to Israel for 40 years each morning, except on the Sabbath. On the sixth day, a double portion was given. Brethren, these are words of encouragement. Our Heavenly Father expects a 100% commitment in order for us to battle fiercely in overcoming sin. In Jeremiah, the third chapter, you don't need to turn there, the 15th verse, it says, "And I will give you shepherds according to my heart," God is talking, "who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." This scripture provides us with clear Old Testament evidence that the principle of feeding the mind with the correct instruction from God leads to good spiritual health. We can be fed in many ways, brethren, which would include Sabbath, Bible study messages, reading of church literature, our own personal Bible studies, and we can also be fed from our fellowship and service to others. But we, God's people, are so very blessed to receive understanding from God our Father and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So a simple rule is this: if we keep our minds continually on God and his way, we will receive spiritual food through Jesus Christ in many ways. We definitely will learn how to live in close communication with our loving God. In Hebrews 6, we know this scripture, I'm sure, by heart. Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." God rewards in many ways those who diligently seek him, brethren. Not only is their faith developed and increased, but also their whole outlook on what life and the plan of God is all about will increase. We must constantly seek God, which can mean that we want to be close to him. We want to do his will. We want to serve and obey him. We want to walk with God and Jesus Christ by putting them first in our lives. This, of course, would include being diligent in our prayer life, our scripture life, our meditation life, and our obedience life. Brethren, we are the children of God now as physical human beings, and we are expected to continually focus on developing the spiritual image of God in our lifetime. Now, this takes effort on our part, and God and Christ will help us to develop, as mentioned in a very key scripture, Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. There it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Brethren, yes, we must seek God, and we will find him. We must seek God continually to stay close to him and overcome sin. We will find God. He's with us, but we must continue to seek him. We are to work out our salvation, but not to work for our salvation. There is a difference. Why? Because salvation is a gift from God. We do this through spiritual nourishment that we receive from the bread of life, Jesus Christ. As we live our lives, we face problems, issues, challenges, and decisions that certainly need the guidance and help of God to help us resolve them according to his will. Brethren, this is tremendous understanding that we are being given. We must face the reality that the world around us feeds people with unhealthy and diseased food of the wrong way to live. The world's diet is filled with sin, which includes the violation of the commandments of God. The wholesome and nutritious spiritual diet of Jesus Christ, our bread of life, will feed our minds through God's Holy Spirit with the nourishing food of building righteous spiritual character, which will result in living forever a happy and abundant life that is based on God's word and will include faithfulness, happiness, love, godly wisdom, and obedience to the commandments of God. Now, we can state that eating solid food from the spiritual food bank of Jesus Christ will bring about healthy, obedient, loving, and faithful sons of God. Let's look now at the second I am statement by Jesus Christ that he stated and can be found in the book of John. John 8:12 here. "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" In this verse, Jesus is stating that if we follow him, we will receive from him the light of life. Thus, we will not walk in darkness because Jesus is our light, our salvation, and the strength of our life. We have no need to be afraid. If we look at Psalms 27:1, a very familiar scripture where it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The symbolism of light or a lamp is used to show direction or instruction received as a result of understanding God's word, brethren. Psalms 119, verse 130, explains that very clearly. It states, "The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Now, in this verse, the psalmist describes God's word as light, which is a guide for living. The light refers to understanding how to live according to God's way and according to his will. In Psalms 119 and verse 105, let's add a little bit to the statement we just made. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In other words, the person can walk and live his life according to God's standards and God's will, because light, which can also be synonymous to truth, is given to him. The light and or the lamp of understanding and guidance to live God's way removes the darkness or the blindness that prevented us from seeing the pathway of God's way of living before we repented of our sins, were baptized, and received God's Holy Spirit to guide us in how to live God's way. We should understand that God gives his light of understanding through his Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. Those of us who have been in God's church for quite a few years understand that. God gives us more understanding through his words. The longer we are in his church, the more faithful we are, the more understanding he gives us, and we receive that light from him. Look at John, the first chapter, brethren. There it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. And who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus Christ, as the Word, was with God the Father in the beginning and was involved in the creation of mankind. Each one of us needs the light of Jesus Christ in our daily living in order to overcome the sin which is the spiritual leaven of this world, brethren. And as we strive to walk in the light of Christ, we will increase our spiritual understanding and spiritual maturity in drawing closer and closer to God and his way of living righteously. As mentioned in 4:8, in James 4:8, we can learn to draw near to God. You can look at that scripture later, but in James 4:8, it mentions that. We draw near to God, who in turn will draw near to us. And in James 4:10, we can also learn to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, who will lift us up. Now, as the creation of light was the beginning of the original creation in Genesis, so when believers receive the spiritual light, they become a part of the new spiritual creation. In 2 Corinthians 4, the 3rd verse through the 6th verse. I won't read it, but it does. I'll just read the beginning. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So, brethren, as in the creation, light was commanded to shine out of darkness. God's people are given spiritual light, spiritual understanding. The reflection or image or likeness or illumination, which can be defined as, quote, the process of clarifying or explaining something or enlightenment, end quote. We can see that we are very, very blessed. In Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus Christ tells us that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Jesus is talking right here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The Apostle John also adds some words dealing with light. He encourages us to walk in the light of Jesus Christ and God the Father. In 1 John, the first chapter, in the 5th verse, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. That's pretty plain, brethren. But if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, again, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, brethren, we can see and understand that sin will continue around us as we end these days of unleavened bread and go on with striving to live our lives close to God. When we sin, we can have confidence in repenting and asking for forgiveness, knowing that our loving, merciful, and kind God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise be to our loving God and his Son, Jesus Christ, for their love, their kindness, mercy, and patience with all of us, brethren. Just as the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness learning about how important it was to rely on God by trusting him through the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, in order to enter the promised land after they left the slavery of Egypt, we, as the Israel of God, and we find that in Galatians 6:16, we are the church of God, the Israel of God, we are learning how important it is to rely on God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, the head of the church, to guide and help us to overcome the daily battles of sin that we face in our daily walk with God as we travel to the promised land of the kingdom of God. Let's remember that Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he's also the light of the world, brethren. We can rely on him and our Father to help us overcome sin on our spiritual journey to the kingdom of God. So praise be to our loving God and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, for their love, their kindness, and their mercy to each one of us.